Hallelujah. I turned my microphone on. Thanks for keeping me muted back there. Y'all did a good job on that. I didn't realize I was on. So you may be seated. And if you don't know, if you haven't been in church at any time, hallelujah just means praise the Lord. So every time you sing hallelujah, you're saying praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So let's just praise the Lord. Let's do it. Y'all said it. Let's do it. Praise the Lord. Is he worthy of praise this morning? When we say hallelujah, hallelujah, we can shout that. But if we don't express that, we just say in words. Same things like Jesus is Lord. Listen, we should get excited, should we not? Jesus is Lord. There's something different about on this side of salvation. Now, I haven't forgotten what it's like to be a lost man. I was lost sitting in church, and day by day, I was baptized, a Baptist, but I was lost. And so I heard the message, I'm sure. But I was one of those hard-headed kids. I didn't like church. I didn't like wasting Sunday morning coming and meeting together. I liked the eating at church. That was my favorite. The old ladies kind of saved it at church because that was my favorite thing to do at church. And then WrestleMania on Wednesday night during missions. We never had any teaching, did we, Steve? We kind of was a free-for-all. We had a thing called Missions for Boys, RAs, if y'all remember that. And it was just WrestleMania and tear the place up as best we can. As a matter of fact, I think Ken Mueller sent me a picture, I think, a long time ago in Talitha Baptist Church. That's where my dad was a pastor. We're finally renovating the back building, and they took down a picture, a big picture, and I hadn't painted in since I was a kid, I guess. And they went to paint, and in the back it had CS, heart, comma, apostrophe S, WW. Clint Smith loves Wendy Wakefield. That was my wife's name. I stole some of Steve's paint. It was sprayed in Ford blue. He always painted motors Ford blue. And so they went to paint over it, and it kept bleeding through the concrete block. They couldn't get rid of it. So I can only imagine what the parsonage downstairs looks like because we had a basement, and I used a lot of creative abilities in the parsonage as well. So those are the kind of things that as a kid, church was just an activity for me. And then when I truly give my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ at age 21, that's when I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus Christ saved my soul. All this stuff made sense. It wasn't just words we sang. It wasn't things we preached. And I learned not to compare myself to someone else. I learned to compare myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what, brothers and sisters, we don't compare. He is holy. He is righteous. He's infinite. And when you try to get into a comparison game, you'll always lose when it comes to Jesus. Just telling you heads up, straight up, right? Always compare yourself to him. Himself, and then you'll find yourself unworthy, and then you'll find yourself in an attitude of gratitude saying, God, thank you, and just thank you. So let's turn today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm thankful for Kristen. Good job this morning. I could hear the music back there. I like the baptism. The only thing bad about baptism is you don't get to participate in the worship as loud. So if you heard me singing from up there, I was whistling and singing this morning. Y'all ever do this sometimes? I used to do it to my mom, and I do it to Wendy all the time. I'll sing a portion of a song and just stop. This is my, and I just walk off. And Wendy's like, would you finish the song? I said, I did inside my head. I just wanted you to sing it with me, right? So now we play this game of this is my, oh, see, wrong song. Here we go. All right, try it again. This is my, all right. Praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let me encourage you to do that. So even if you're in Walmart somewhere, whistle a tune and just stop. Don't finish it. And you'll drive someone crazy because their brain's going to, if they've ever heard the songs, especially Jesus Loves Me, even people that are far from God, if they've heard Jesus Loves Me, guess what they'll do? That will play in their head because you know what the Bible says? We put the word of God in music, and it says his word, Mike read this one, Isaiah, will not return void. Now, he was talking to the Hebrews, but he also was talking to us today. When God's word goes forth, whether we say it, or whether we sing it, whether we preach it, when it goes into our hearts, it gets into it goes into our ears, it gets to our hearts and into our minds. And what do we have to do with it? You have to do something with the word of God when you hear it. Is that true? People that are watching by YouTube or watching by Facebook. They have to do something with the word that's been heard. You can reject it or you can receive it. And here Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he's so excited. He's like, you heard it and you received it, right? So there's a change. Something's happened to these people. These were idolaters. These were people who worshiped idols. they were in all kind of crazy paganism, and Paul's preached to them. He had this short window of time, Acts chapter 17. If you go back and read that again, that kind of tells you the story of the story. And Paul's probably bloodied and cut, and he's probably had to have some stitches on his face. He took a beat down there in Philippi, and while he's preaching to the church at Thessalonica, he probably looks really wounded. And when he's got to bathe for 3 weeks, Paul had to bathe at least one time. He was a guy, so he probably bathed one or two times in 3 weeks, but he's a boy, right? So when he took his shirt off down by the river, they had to see all of this beating that he took as a Roman prisoner, even though he was a Roman citizen and should have never been beaten. It was illegal to beat a Roman citizen. So Paul was striped up pretty good as he preaches this message. And so if somebody is willing to die for a message they want to get to you, don't you think it's at least worth listening to? Someone would actually go to the point of death to get you a message, something we should hear. So we hear Paul, but Paul, who's Paul preaching about? He said, I took a beat down, but there's one that I'm preaching that took a death, right? He took a death blow for you. He was murdered. He gave himself up, but he died for your cause, for your sake, for your sins, that you actually could receive him as Lord and Savior, and where he is, be with him forever. Paul said, listen, I'll take a beating all day long if you'll listen to a man who died for you, and he died for me. He changed my life. He'll change your life. So watch what he says in the passage. We're going to get through 13 through 16, and I'll read through 20 if we have opportunity, because Paul talks about the hope, but there's today the message is hope in the Word of God. And your Bible is more than just a book that you actually read. It's more than just a man-made, put-together book. Some people say, and I was watching the documentary, Why I Did, on Jim Jones. Have y'all watched any of that crazy man? He would take the Bible and throw it on the floor and stomp it. And he called himself a minister, but he would say the Bible's full of errors, and anyone that follows that Bible is a fool. And he would go down and just, he would proclaim that obviously how silly. He was a cult leader. That's what he became. But he had started a small following, and it grew. And, of course, y'all know the outcome. He had a massacre that he killed everyone just about in his that would be his congregation or his followers. Well, today Paul's talking about to the church of Thessalonica. He's saying, listen, I know you've got troubles, and I'm going to show you what those troubles, there's an outcome to your trouble, right? And we were talking about this morning as Bowen was teaching Catalyst. I was able to be a student this morning because most of my class is on the ski retreat, all the young college and career, and thinking about this, that why is it important for us to hear this and believe, obviously what Jason went through, he got locked up, he was put on probation, the Judaizers are after him. The good thing for us in the 21st century, we get to read this as a historical narrative. We get to hear it as a fact. And so the question is, okay, Jason was a believer and he got in trouble, he got persecuted for being a believer. Where is Jason today? Where is he? If y'all don't know where you're going, listen, if you don't know where he went, listen, you don't know where you're going. Where is Jason today? Absent from the body, where is he? Present with the Lord. So Jason is in the presence of the Lord. Now, what does that look like? We don't know. We got clues. God's given us some clues, but we don't know fully, because I'm telling you, if we knew all about heaven, we would become a Christian and we would jump off the highest bridge right away just to get there. Would we not? We would. All right, so while we live day by day, Paul says, listen, I'm telling you, I've been to both places, has he not? He said, I knew a man that went up to the third heaven. He's talking about himself, when he was stoned to death. So Paul's seen heaven, he's like, there's things I can't even utter that I can't tell you. John saw some revelations that they're locked up. So God gives us just enough, a glimpse, to look into heaven, know that Jesus is there, that's enough. But day by day, we have to be here to do what God's called us to do. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, he's assigned us to be here today after we give our heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ by his invitation, and we have work to do. Is that true? We all have work to do if we're a Christian. The problem is Christians are lazy today and no one wants to do the work. It always is, how much are you going to pay me? What's it worth to me? Do I trade hours at work for hours of volunteerism? That's what kind of how we measure it. That's not the trade-off. The trade-off is what does the Church of God, what does God's body need to go forth in Jesus' name? Chris talked about the GoFundMe. We started that years ago and just said, hey, we should take up the offering at the front of the service. And God put on my heart, listen, Paul was sent on these missionary journeys, and if people will take up their vacation time or take time off, the church should be responsible. We, the church, even those that can't go on mission, should be responsible for sending them on mission. Because if you've ever been a part of a church that goes on a mission trip, they'll give you these flyers and these little handouts that says, Give this to your aunt, give this to your grandma and grandpa, and you have to ask everybody for $25 or $50, hey, would you, my church is going to wherever, Thailand, would you help me? We don't do that here. If you get those letters, please bring those letters directly to me. If you're a church member and you get an ask from anybody in the church that says, would you give money? Your answer is, no, I give through the local church. And then that person can come see it. Any of us, if you go on mission, we're going to help send you on mission if it's a mission that worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? And so if you're a member here and we have a mission that we sponsor, we're going to pay 100% of your airfare, we're going to pay for your lodging, and we're going to pay for your food. But you have to be busy here. We're not sending you on vacation. If you're not working here and volunteering here, you won't go there. Not on our dime. Amen? On the Town Creek dime. But if you are working here, if you're serving here, listen, we want to send you on mission because that's what Paul is constantly thinking, that even the church at Philippi, thank you for your gifts. And he tells the church at Corinth, he tells the church at Thessalonica, thank you. So as you give the GoFund, that's just money that goes into a fund, and it's going to pay for us to send folks on mission. Last year, it cost us $33,000 to send people. Excuse me. Did I say the right cost us? That's the wrong word, isn't it? We invested $33,000 in the kingdom to send people, and they had influence over 600 unbelievers. Amen. In university, in high schools, in local elementary schools. Y'all, opportunities that the gospel maybe would have never gone forth in Jesus' name had Town Creek Baptist Church not reached that area. Had we not invested even years ago having Mackenzie there as a missionary. We don't know what God would have done, but God's put us and made a connection there for us. And we have people of peace who are Christians there. We have transportation and we do have lodging there. There's places that we know how to get there. And now we know how to move around just a little bit. And they even know how to ride elephants now, right? So they've been elephant riders while they've been there. So they like coconuts and elephants and durian. Isn't that your favorite, Bowen? Durian? But God used people with sports backgrounds, music backgrounds, different backgrounds to actually be ministers of the gospel while they were there on foot. So here's Paul. Let's read together. Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning of verse 13. And if you weren't here last week, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the message or get the notes because we're going to start out for this reason. So verse 13 starts out for this reason. And what reason? You got to back up and read, and we don't have time for that today. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Paul said, I'm praying constantly for you because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who, what's your Bible say? Who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, and you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus, for you also suffer the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But here it is. We don't like to say this word, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. You say, well, what wrath? We're going to talk about that in just a moment as the Lord gives us opportunity. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful rain. Lord, we know the grass and the root systems are growing through what you're bringing. Thank you for the cold that's going to come, and thank you for the opportunity today to sit in this building, the warm building, where we can actually open up the red-hot word of God. And Lord, have our hearts inflamed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to go and do what you've called us to do. Thank you for your love and care for us, and thank you for the many blessings. Bless this word as it goes forth in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look today at the notes, if you would. I want to show you some things today, and if we have opportunity, we're going to read as much of the scripture as we can today. Mike read Isaiah 55. God's very clear that his ways are so much higher than our ways. Really and truly, you say, why is God doing that? Who's ever asked that question? Why did God do that, or why is God doing this? Anybody ever ask that question? Raise your hand. Look around. I want you to see. We ask God, why? God, what are you, and then what are you doing? How is that going to happen? If God gives you a word or a promise from himself, and you say, well, Lord, how? Those are natural questions, is it not? Is it not a natural question? Are they not natural questions? Lord, why? Why would you let me go through this? Why would you let this happen? What is going to happen, Lord? What's the future? We have a new election. We have a new president tomorrow, and people are really excited about that. But I got to let you know that, listen, it doesn't matter how new the president gets. Listen, the word of God is true. We're not going to get better as a world. We're coming to an end. If y'all can't see the bus stop, listen, the blinking light's down the road. We're coming to the end of the world. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And you say, well, that's doomsday preaching. No, that's biblical preaching. If you just look at the Word of God for yourself, get a piece of paper, scratch it out, and go Genesis 1:1. And then you go to the end of Revelation and write it out and say, okay, what's in between? It's like a nice sandwich put together. We don't see the truth because, one, we don't read the truth, and we don't want to know the truth because, listen, the days are evil and the time is short. We must be about the Word of God. Even in this time, listen, we're reading a message that sounds like a message for today. This message is almost 2,000 years old that I'm preaching to you today. But we're taking application saying, wait a minute, how did God speak back then? And he still speaks today through the same passage, through the apostle. Are we in turn? Let me ask you this. Do you believe this? Because it's one of your scriptures on scriptures. Do we believe that all scripture is inspired by God? Is God breathed? Do we believe that? It's true. So we believe that. So when I just read you that passage of scripture, did you receive it as my words, me saying it to you? Or did you receive it as the Apostle Paul writing it to you? Or did you receive it as God breathing it and giving it to you? Do you understand the difference? Who had Paul write this scripture? Now, even when he says, listen, I continue to pray for you, my brothers. I don't cease praying. Who are we listening to? The pen of Paul, but the voice of God. Do you hear it? So when you read the Word of God, you say, I just wish God would speak to me. Okay, take your Bibles and turn to anywhere beside the maps and the index. God is speaking throughout Scripture. Well, how does it apply to my life? Well, that's a deeper subject. Now you have to go through and say, Lord, what are you doing in my personal life? The Thessalonians were the same way. Imagine if you had a crash course, we had a 3-week revival, you got saved, and then everybody that was the leaders left. The worship leaders, all the preachers, and there was nobody in the area that knew much about what they were talking about other than people got saved. And we said, wow, I got saved. My life's changed. I feel different. My language has changed. I'm uniquely different. I have joy. But what do I do next? Could you imagine? Who's our teacher, the Bible says? Jesus said, I'm going away, that I'll ask the Father. He's going to send you the what? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he says he's also your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. So they would have had access to Old Testament scriptures because, by the way, the New Testament is currently in the writing. It's in the press, right? It's in the mold. It hasn't been written. They didn't have the text that we have today. We have God's Word. So let's look at your notes if you see this. The Apostle Paul was bold in his gospel witness when addressing the Thessalonians. And watch with this, watch and see if you've done this. He thanked God that the message he preached was received not as the word of men, but welcomed as the divine word of God. They welcomed that word. This is fresh. This is something new. Paul was not a hustler, not a preacher who wanted something from them. This was actually Paul giving them a word, and they're like, hey, this sounds like it could be true. Wait a minute. This is contrary to what all the priests of the idols, this is different than what they preach. They always want us to give them a token, and then they would give us a message. He's coming freely. This man has been abused. The word had gotten around. By the way, they had Pony Express and Federal Express as well, right? Not necessarily those names, but they had a way of getting the message to the next city. They had courier routes just like we do today. Look at your notes. Paul preached the supernatural truth, and that's part of the problem. You have natural people trying to handle the supernatural word of God. You will never understand this. God says that he plainly promises you will not, as a natural lost person, understand the word of God until you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not obligated to you as a lost sinner to tell you anything from God's word other than you must be born again. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Otherwise, it's just a textbook. It's just a book that you read like any other book on your shelf. So Paul would preach the supernatural truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He preached the word with great expectation. Paul had a plan when he preached. Paul knew Isaiah 55. Paul would have had that in his mind. Paul knew Isaiah 53, and Paul had experienced what had just happened to Jesus Christ. Paul knew that God's ways were higher than his ways. Paul knew that he had an agenda. He wanted to preach the word of God here and there, and God says, nope, you're going to go there and here, right? Because Paul was pretty strong-minded. If you look at what he said, I wanted to go to Asia. I wanted to go here, and I want to go there. And the Lord's like, no, you're going to go here. We just read this morning in Acts chapter 9 where some might say, well, why did God let Paul take the beat down all the time? Every time Paul preached, he ticked people off. He made people mad. He upset the city. He got stoned, one time stoned to death. He was shipwrecked, snake bitten. You go down the whole list of things that Paul went through and say, God, why would you allow that? Well, God gave us a preview. Remember those little viewfinders we used to click on the side? You new kids with all the generations of technology, you don't have it, but we used to put a little disc in it and you could click and watch all of Disney within 10 clicks, right? Who knows what I'm talking about? All right. Who does not know what I'm talking about? Exactly. All right. You need to get one. I doubt you'll even find them today. So what I want you to see is actually Paul was actually going through and he's taking the word of God and he's taking them back through the Old Testament saying something very clear to them. He preached the supernatural word of God. He had expectations that God was going to do something that only God could do. Well, you know, Psalm 119:105, the scripture is very clear. What is God's word? Paul knew this to the people. If he gave it out, he knew these people were walking in darkness. But Paul knew what the psalmist had written years and years and years ago, that the word of God is a light unto their what? It's a lamp to their feet and a light unto their path. God's word will make the way straight if you simply would just preach the word of God. We as ministers and we as teachers, we have opportunity to give out the word of God. Sometimes today we want to shy away. We want to say, listen, Jesus loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you. Let's pray. And we close church with Jesus loves me, this I know. We walk out. That is a truth from the word of God. But as we finish in verse 16, there's a word that's called wrath of God. And we don't like to talk about the wrath of God because what happens? It makes us feel bad. It makes us scared. It makes us, am I responsible for that? Am I going to get some of that? Do we want the love of God or we want the wrath of God? What do we want? Yeah, who wants the wrath of God? Anybody? Anybody stupid enough to raise their hand this morning and say, I'd like a little wrath of God? But there's people living like they're saying that. They're confessing they want the wrath of God because they will not follow the path of God. Do you understand? His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He doesn't broadcast all the way downtown to see where, so you can see all the way down in the street. He gives you just enough light for here and for now, for today. What about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said it has enough troubles of its own. Today, right? I'll meet your needs today. Now, this is contingent on us being in right relationship with God. Let's continue, and you'll see. As we read there in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all of Scripture is God-breathed. All of Scripture is given for, so that the man of God can use it. It's profitable for our what? Rebuking, correcting, giving instructions, so that we would be fully equipped, and it's primarily to Timothy, so that Timothy could preach the Word of God. But all of the Word of God is instructive that God actually might have His way and have His, that Isaiah 55, His way is higher than our ways. Let's continue. I want you to see in the notes. The Thessalonians provided evidence that the Word of God transformed their lives, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Don't forget this. They received and believed Paul's witness. God's Word is powerful and life-changing. Would you say amen to that if you were a Christian today? Is it powerful in your life? Has it changed your life? Every time that you read the Word of God, you go, is that new? I thought I crossed through the book of John so many times. And Lord, I've read the Psalms, but today that word means something. Lord, that's amazing how you can actually allow me to read that today. It meets exactly my need that I have today. And it seems like it's brand new, like it was extra text added in. Lord, I'm amazed that you would actually tell me that. That's the goodness of God, is it not? He loves us that much that it's His mercy is what? It's fresh and new every morning. And when you get into the Word of God, you're like, wait a minute, there's another lamp. What happens if you actually, have you ever had any of you go, anybody grew up in driving four-wheel drives or ATVs or anything like that? You get to go mudding at nighttime, and you always got that one guy. Like he can depend on it. He's got the tow hitch. He's got everything. He's got the winch on the front. He's got the monster tires. And then when it's time, everybody gets stuck in the mud. This guy comes in, don't worry about it. He goes in, he starts flipping switches. He'll turn on like a stadium. This one comes on. You can see that part of the woods. This one comes on. That comes on. If you don't have friends like that, you need at least one friend like this, okay? We call them rednecks where I'm from, but these guys flip everything on, and then the winch, they tow you out, and you can see it's almost like daylight outside, and then they shut it off and move on. This is the way the Word of God is when you read it. Paul's telling the church of Thessalonica, remember, he's writing a letter back to them. He's already spent time with them. Now he's gone away from them, and he's writing a letter back to them to give them instruction. That's why 1 and 2 Thessalonians is so rich in instruction and doctrine, because Paul said, I want to finish what I started. I get to tell you this, and I didn't get to tell you this, and the Holy Spirit says, tell them this. And Paul's writing as fast as the Holy Spirit says, they need to know this. Church, it's there for us today because why? Because you and I need to know this. All right? So let's continue. I want you to see this. The light is coming on little bit by little bit. So Paul's writing back to them. And we know Romans 12, 1 and 2, where the Bible tells us. Matter of fact, let's go there and look at Romans 12. I was going to give that passage from Micah's scripture, but since he's studying Romans, I didn't think he would ever sit down. So I didn't give Mike the opportunity to read Romans chapter 12 today. I'm just kidding, Mike. I know. Love you, man. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. When you're there, say amen. The Bible says this, I beseech you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Let me just ask you this. Is God still urging, not just the church at Rome, but is God urging the church of Aiken, South Carolina, 250 Town Creek Road, a.k.a. Town Creek Baptist Church, is God urging us, is God beseeching you and me to do this very thing? Is he actually inviting us, is he urging us to actually, by the mercies of God, to present our bodies? Is he inviting us to do that as a living sacrifice? The question is, are we being obedient? Don't answer out loud. But let's answer for all those other people, because it's always easier. Don't you love this about church? This is how good, that's why we get called hypocrites so many times, because it's easy to stand up here and preach this word, and you say, well, who's at fault? And you go, oh, if you let me give you a list. I'll give you a top 10. They're not living like Jesus. Well, what church is preaching Jesus Christ? Can't find one in town. Ours is the best. If we're not careful, we can get into that hypocrisy of actually saying, listen, yeah, they need it. They need Jesus. Yes, they do. They need Jesus. How about you, right? And so they need him more. They need him more. They need him more. But Paul's like, listen, present yourself. Present yourself. And as we look at this, this is a very difficult thing for us to do. Holy, are we holy people? Is our conduct and our speech holy? Should have been a big amen. Yes, amen there. Are we acceptable to God? Because Paul's going to tell the church of Thessalonica, God is not pleased with those who hate his word. God is not pleased with those who despise his people. God is not pleased. Church, is God pleased with you today? Was God pleased with everyone in Thessalonica? Was he pleased with everyone in the town? Was he pleased? If he says God is not pleased with them, was he pleased with everyone? The answer is no, God is not pleased with everyone. But we go on to read what the scripture says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We all would cry out loud, God, I just want to know your will for my life. Don't we? We caveat that. We don't want to know God's will because we just know what God's will is right here. God's will is that we submit ourselves to the Lord. God's will is that we actually live a holy life. It's God's will that we're transformed. Don't give in to the culture. It's God's will that we live like Jesus would. Now, that bracelet, what would Jesus do? Good and bad. If Jesus, somebody asked me today, what would Jesus do when it was a homeless guy? And so I told him I didn't help him. I'm not going to help him. This guy I know, I've talked with him before. We had one even here washing his clothes right outside in the spigot out here. He had a marijuana bong with him that it was hot. And he told me he had a pistol in his pocket and he had money in the bank. And he really just wanted to wash his clothes here. And I said, no, we have a church, daycare, school. You can't be here. We've had others we try to help. They don't want any help. Many times, homeless people are making more money than you and I are. They'll take a free obligation. They don't want try it and test me, see if I'm wrong or right. In Aiken, you'll find them now a dime a dozen. Try to share the gospel and say, can we get you some help? Share Jesus Christ with them. They don't want to hear it. Listen, and there's an exception to the rules because I used to work in Columbia and I would go downtown to Finley Park and I would weekly, that was my ministry that God gave me, I would go buy 40 cheeseburgers from McDonald's before they got to be $18 a piece, the small ones. And I just go hand them out, and food gave me access to share the gospel. So I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying when you do it, you're casting sometimes your pearls before swine. Because you got people who are like these, they're haters of the word of God. They love what they've read, or their minds have been so given over to drugs. We don't stop trying to reach people for Jesus Christ, but I guess I'm telling you to be careful this morning because you can invest your life and your time and someone who is not interested in the word of God whatsoever. They have stone cold hearts. Before you go out, pray, and here's what God will do for you. Instead of just seeing the guy or woman on the side of the road, God will say, go to that man or that woman. He will direct your paths in all things. He'll tell you who you should actually help and who to stay away from. We don't shy away from helping others in Jesus' name. I know Adrian was just doing that. We gave out clothes last Tuesday to the homeless. So we gave out food to the homeless. Adrian's busy about doing that because he's passionate about that ministry. And we are. We'll be doing it again this Wednesday. We'll be giving out, if Lord willing, it's supposed to snow and be cold. We're going to be giving out. We gave out sleeping bags. We're doing as best we can, but we want to give out the Lord Jesus Christ, because I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if I give you food and don't give you the bread of life, you're going to be hungry again tomorrow. And if you die tomorrow in the cold, guess what? You're going to die with food in your stomach that's processing. Well, I didn't give you the word of God. If you have a sleeping bag and it tears or gets wet, you're going to be cold. You'll be warm tonight, but you can be cold tomorrow. But the word of God, how long does it last, church? It's lasting forever. Let's continue on. I want to get to the notes so you can see this. After their salvation, the Thessalonians became imitators of their spiritual brothers and sisters in other churches. They willingly endured sufferings for Christ from their non-believing fellow citizens. 1 John tells us we have to love Christ first. In doing loving Christ, there's going to be persecution. Jesus said that himself in Matthew chapter 5. You can read that for yourself as well. Read the whole chapter, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Peter tells us, listen, serving God, how do we serve God? We serve God for his glory, not for our glory. You don't do it so that you might earn something. You do it so that he would receive the glory, because he is the Lord of glory. Only he deserves it. And listen, as we live our lives, as we give our lives to him, following his way, living that holy life, being transformed, not conformed to the culture, we bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to sing glory to his name. I want you to know this, though. This is truth. Haters of God reject the truth of the word. You can share. Yeah, but I believe the Bible's corrupted. I believe there's corruption in the Bible, all throughout the Bible. I want to encourage you, hand them the Bible and show it, say, show me. If they show you one or two places where, oh, the King James says this and the NIV says this, okay, let's talk about it. Does it change the doctrine of Scripture? Does it change anything really in the Scripture? There is nothing, my brothers and sisters, that you can find in this word that changes anything, no matter what translation you might have. Some of the other translations that came on, Zondervan came on, and they tried to do what's called the TNIV, where God the Father, they tried to make him God the Parent. Now you're going to do some troubles. Amen? When you don't stick true to the doctrine, you're trying to change it for your sake. That's wrong. But the word of God, listen, this word, you can stand on this word with confidence, knowing that God's word is true. These letters that Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church, listen, you can count them as part of your repertoire that the Holy Spirit's given you to go and say, well, I just don't believe when someone says, I hate the word of God, I think it's with error. You can say, oh, you're right here in the scripture, by the way. You're mentioned right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who are they? Those people in verse 14, half of verse 14b. They're haters of the word of God. They reject the word of God. They killed the Lord Jesus, and they killed their own prophets. Even today, these haters continue to persecute and wound his faithful followers, the church. We're not seeing much persecution in America yet. It is coming, my brothers and sisters. Listen, it's knocking on the door, and it's coming. But if you travel overseas, you'll see persecution for the name of Jesus Christ, for his name's sake. People are dying for the name of Christ. People are being put in jail for the name of Christ. And the reason we don't see it is because we're not looking for it. Look for the persecuted church. Just do a search on the persecuted church. China's persecuting. The Asian countries are persecuting the name of Christ. Communist countries are persecuting the name of Christ. Socialist countries are persecuting the name of Jesus Christ. And really, democracies will be persecuting Jesus Christ. It's happening in small amounts now, but it's going to get greater and greater because the days are getting evil. Well, let's finish this. I want you to see God is divinely displeased with those who oppose his truth. He's not pleased with you, brother and sister, friend, this morning. If you oppose the word of God, God is not pleased with you. Paul's adversaries made every effort to hinder the work he and his team were doing for the Lord. They kicked him out of town. He was a free Roman citizen. He should have rights to walk anywhere he wants to walk, but they put so much pressure on Paul and his team that they had to leave town. But here's what you need to know. Every time that you plant that seed in the word of God, guess what's going to happen? If you plant a tomato seed, what are you going to get? Tomatoes. Lots of toes, at least 10, right? You're going to get, you don't just get one tomato. You can get a tomato with how many seeds inside of it as well? Multiple seeds ready to go. And you plant those seeds, what's going to happen? More tomatoes, right? You get a plant that produces fruit, the fruit, and it continues. And that's how the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the law of the harvest. That's the proper law of the harvest. Every time you sow a seed, listen, God's going to bring it to harvest. Some plant, some water, the Lord brings the harvest. Amen? You know what he says in the word? Bernard, thank you, since you read the word. Me and Bernard know that. All right. Finally, listen, Paul emphasized that God has a divinely appointed limit to the sin he would tolerate from unbelievers. Did you know there's a limit, brothers and sisters? God has in an engine, if you have a thing that says RPMs, revolutions per minute, did you know there's a limit to what your car can stand? If you put it in park or neutral and you push the gas pedal down and it goes into the red line, when it redlines, what's going to happen? It'll last for a little bit, but what's going to happen if you just keep pushing it all the way down? There's a limit to what that engine can stand. And God is holy, and there's a limit to what he will stand. He can, listen, God won't look on sin. How he does this, I don't know. And how he tolerates sin, period. Because we as Christians, when we give our heart and life to Jesus Christ, we hope it all just disappears, but we know we live in this real world and we sin against God. But for people that are unbelievers, haters of his word, there is a limit. You think what's happening in California, nobody will say it, and everybody's like, shh, don't talk like that. Listen, you can call it like you want to see it. That is part of the wrath of God coming on those people who want to expel the Lord Jesus Christ out of California. Pray here naked. Won't get ready and watch what happens. The Lord will bring, but he brings natural disasters. He brings death, pestilence, disease. The wrath of God, he seeps it in, saying, listen, turn back to me. And what happens? People that won't come to church this Sunday, guess what's going to happen when trees start falling on Tuesday and Wednesday when the ice hits those trees that the hurricane left hanging? Guess what they're going to start doing when the trees start hitting the houses again? They'll cry out to God, oh God, oh God. Or they'll call the first person they know that's a Christ follower. What do I do? My neighbors used to do that. When the big ice storm years ago came, people came to our house and it was cracking and popping all night. It was a horrible time. It's pitch black, ice is everywhere, and it's popping, trees are popping. People want to run as quick as they can to somebody who knows who God is. They want to get close to somebody who's close to. What is God doing? What's he trying to say? Did you use that opportunity? Hopefully, if it happens this week, God's trying to speak to you, Hammerhead, right? God's trying to tell you he loves you. And if you were to die tonight, you'd go to hell. Tell somebody that. Just look at somebody in love and say, you know what? If you don't give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're going to hell. Is that a truth from the Word of God? Yes or no? Is that pleasant to hear? Is it pleasant to say? No, because even in the Navy, we used to tell people that's where you should go, right? We used to say, go to hell. That's what we used to tell somebody, not knowing what we were really saying. But the reality is, we should have been saying, hey, you're going to hell, because that's the truth in the Word of God if you're far from God. God will not tolerate unbelief forever. Once that limit is reached, the full and eternal wrath of God comes upon the people. Go over with me. I need to read Jesus' words. John chapter 3. We'll close with this today. John chapter 3. This will be our last passage of Scripture. John 3. John the Baptist is talking. And y'all, listen, people want to... It's hard for me to serve soft-serve ice cream from the pulpit. Do y'all realize that? I was lost sitting in the church. People say, Pastor, you just be a little softer. The Word of God is speaking truly. If I speak it wrong because my own voice or my inflection, I'm sorry about that. But the Word of God speaks itself. God don't need me to be the spokesperson. If you look at your bulletin insert, even before we leave today, today is Sanctity of Human Life. How many babies died in 2024 through abortion this year? In South Carolina. In Aiken County. The answer is you probably don't know because you haven't cared. It's not my family. It's somebody else. It's those crazy people. Listen, if I was to actually take and someone actually killed a woman with a pistol, broke into her house and shot her and the baby, who's getting charged with the murder? The person that shot the gun. Is that true? This is where we don't, this is even a Southern Baptist where we come to this point. This is why I'm telling you the Word of God is true. God says he's the creator of life. If a woman takes a pistol and does this to her own womb and shoots herself and she lives, who's getting, is it murder? Yes, but if she goes to a doctor, to a physician, and has an abortion, is that murder? Who's culpable for that murder? The doctor, the one who paid for it, and the woman. She murdered her own child. Now, if women have gone through abortion, we say God can forgive. But we don't want to talk about it because we want a soft servant saying, no, she's just, we don't want to make a double victim. What about the baby? That child was innocent, never did anything. I don't care how it was conceived, but the Bible's very clear that life begins when? At conception. And brothers and sisters, if we don't start teaching our children that, and we don't allow the schools to teach them that they're just another higher-ranking animal, we're not animals. We were created in the very image of God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And when Jesus says this, listen, you can't help but think our country, it's been over 60 million babies that's been murdered since Roe versus Wade when it first started. Over 60 million. We can't even count that high. And let me give you a challenge. When, as soon as church is over, start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. Just count it at a nice cadence like that and see how long it takes you to get to 60 million. You won't finish this week. And you'll say, good grief, it's too many. My mouth is getting dry. I got to go to sleep. Yeah, but those babies are still dying. And we must, as Christians, we must stand up. We must call. Listen, our legislature just got back together. And what are they doing for the Human Protection Act? It's not first agenda. They've let it put back. Now that we have a quote-unquote supermajority of Republicans. Republicans are just like anybody else. I don't care what stripe you vote for. They got into office, and now they're going to enjoy their time in office. You must stand in the gap for the unborn brothers and sisters. We must love those who are pregnant, and I've given you some instructions if you want to follow those. But look at what Jesus says here at the end. This ties right in. Verse 35, John 3, 35. The Father loves the Son. That's Jesus Christ. God the Father loves God the Son and has given all things into his hand. What is Jesus in charge of? How much authority does Jesus have? All authority. He is our creator. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has what, church? Come on, say it out loud. He who believes in Jesus Christ has what? Eternal light or everlasting life, your Bible might say. And he who does not believe in Jesus Christ shall not see life, but has what? The wrath of God abiding on him or her. You can be young here today. You can be a teenager. You can be a child. You can be an adult, senior adult, whatever age you are. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the wrath of God is abiding on you right this minute. It's not being activated, but brothers and sisters, listen, there are going to be some icy roads this week, right? You say, well, Pastor, you're trying to scare me into heaven? If I could, I would go boo. I'm just telling you the truth. You're not promised to pull out in traffic, especially in Aiken, right, and live another day, but you're not promised another breath. So my challenge to you is this. Those are the words, by the way, it should be red lettered in your Bible, right? Jesus said that. If you believe on him, if you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, listen, the Father knows you and you have the love of God within you. But those who are haters and rejectors of the truth, the wrath of God is upon you. You're carrying it around waiting for it to rain, and it's coming. Brothers and sisters, it's coming unless you turn and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. I don't want to face the wrath of God because Jesus already has on the cross. Lord, thank you for taking my place. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want that free gift of salvation. I know the wages of sin is death, but Lord, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Would you be my Lord? And guess what he always says? Yes, because he loves you. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for today. As hard as it is to hear, Lord, even these messages of truth, Lord, 2,000 years ago it was true, and 1,000 years ago it was true, and today it's true, and tomorrow, guess what, Lord, we know it's going to be true because your word endures forever. How we receive the truth, Lord, that's for us to decide because you've given us a free will agency that we can actually hear this word. And Father, I think you invite us today as we've gathered to hear, thus said the word of God, that, Lord, you give us an opportunity to receive like the Thessalonians, that opportunity you invite us to give our heart and life to Jesus Christ. So many people, Lord, like the unbelievers, say, I don't believe that, or I'm going to wait, or I want to resist that. And Lord, we know we have two choices in this life. Receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or reject Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. One comes with all the blessings of heaven, Lord, eternal life and blessings on this life. Yes, persecutions, but you carrying us through. And the other, Lord, eternal life, separated from you in a place called hell. Those that are furthest from, Lord, from heaven and closest to hell today, I pray that you would save their souls because, Lord, you don't want church members. You don't even want baptized people. You want people that are born again that have trusted you, Lord Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us understand this truth, that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong, they are weak, and he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, and he loves all of us. But Lord, your time, your clock that you have for us here on earth is running out. Let us today be the day of salvation. Thank you for your love and care for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.